Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
What's going on, you guys? We're doing hand signals here. Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. It's Monday, and we're performing an autopsy right now in the background.
I was thinking about opening it up. I was going to give it a...
That would have been perfect. See, I get confused. See, Gatch is on the...
I didn't know.
I'm on the evens.
I didn't know if... sometimes, you know, I like going... You know, sway the head and think about it for a second, come in. But I didn't know if that's what you're doing or if you're.
And sometimes a long doomy interlude like that, you know, before they start rocking. But this is kind of for Hans. I didn't know if he knew about this, but just late last month, Autopsy put out a new album, The Headless Ritual.
Wow.
And Hans turned me on to Autopsy like way back in the day, a former drummer from Death. And, former, only on their first album. And then Autopsy was coming out when Death was coming out as well, so. Mm-hmm.
You know who's now playing with Death, I just heard? And might be playing with Autopsy coming up.
Who's that?
Legendary guitarist J.J. Cale.
He's done playing with them.
He is?
He played with them just the other day.
Oh.
Yeah, he was playing with Death for a while, and then they got the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's in Autopsy.
Yeah, and I, you know, for the longest time, because I grew up classic rock, and I'd hear
Cocaine
After Midnight.
We gonna always, let it on.
I always thought he said Captain Midnight.
Wow,
for the longest time.
That's a killer Mondegreen.
Yeah.
Captain Midnight.
Hang out.
Now, why is Captain Midnight letting it all hang out?
I don't know, but it made more sense. I guess I was just looking for the song to be about somebody.
We're going to tell you what it's all about.
Rather than about sometime.
We're going to tell you what it is all about. What it's all about.
Did he ever tell what it was all about?
No.
In the song, it's one of those like...
Like Rat.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, he didn't really have any big hit. You know, they used to play his version of that song once in a while on like AOR, KZL radios in the 70s. But mostly you heard other people's versions of his song.
Yep,
big
Cocaine.
Hits. Cocaine and After Midnight
were the one.
Two Eric Clapton's. Who else did songs?
I've only heard the original of that one a few times, and maybe After Midnight, maybe once. But I'm not sure what caused his demise.
He's pretty old, I know that.
Yeah, he was. But I think he was still traveling rock, and he was just like a traveling rocker. So he never really settled down to to become the success. I don't know maybe why his songs weren't as successful as when other people. I don't know. Did Clapton add his noodling solos to him?
Of course he added his own solos, but the songs were pretty much... identical.
So the same time span, kind of, pretty much. There wasn't any 30-minute additional solo added by Eric Clapton.
Well, on the live version, yeah, but not on the like studio version. It was just a regular verse, chorus, verse type thing that ended pretty quickly.
There are songs on classic rock radio that should not be played in the morning.
What's
one
that?
Of those is Layla.
Yeah. You got me on my knees. You know what other song J.J. Cale wrote that's popular by another band?
Well, which one is that?
They Call Me the Breeze by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this whole time I've been calling the wrong person the breeze.
Yeah, now he's fucking flying in the wind.
And they both are.
Well,
you know what did
true.
It to those guys, though, is working for MCA.
I thought it was a free bird.
That's true.
In the breeze.
Yep.
The tay in the wind.
Yep.
Fucking turns into an episode of Nell. Which is now not a movie anymore. It's now a series.
I don't know if it lessened my liking for Freebird when I found out it was pretty much a piss break for the singer.
Well, you didn't think they would have rocked out anyway?
Well, sure, you know. But it was, you know, it was a drug break for the singer. Why didn't the other
guys get one? A drug break? I thought you said a piss break.
Well, it was, but let's check out how long that solo is. It ain't no 30-second solo. How long does it
take to
piss?
Maybe he had to take a poop. It's the Skynyrd shit break.
But Jethro Tull also had one. It was called Pee Break.
How do you pronounce that again?
Pee Break.
Pee Break.
French for pee break is what it meant, and it was a 9-minute instrumental.
Wow.
By Martin Barr. So it was
who's Martin Barr?
The guitarist from Jethro Tull.
Oh, see, you know way more about Jethro than I do.
Yeah, he was a classically trained nylon.
Wore nylons?
Yep. I think he was classically trained, much like Steve Howe. You know, he played a lot of nylon kind of guitars. Well, you know Jethro Tull guitars.
For sure.
You know, no slouching in there. Aqualung.
I got a funny thing about Jethro Tull. When I used to play in the Bone Jars.
Minute, we just listened to Jethro Tull earlier, right?
Yeah.
On the show?
Yeah, the Tagcast podcast, which we got to get a new song because that's not really our name anymore. So I got to come up with a different classic rock song to steal and mention Pizza Now, but not Complete Ag Resolutions, and then not say Tagcast podcast, but say Terry and Gatch Comedy Show, which is going to be a challenge, so I'm working on that. But, shit, I was just going to say something, and then...
Sorry.
Oh, Jethro Tull. A funny story about that. The Bone Jars, okay, Steve Carlisle, the drummer, uh-huh. John Meehan, original bass player. One time we were talking rock, and we were working on a Jethro Tull song that I don't think we ever did. And John said... Man, when I saw Jethro Tull, they had the hardest hitting drummer I've ever seen in my life. He was just beating the shit out of those drums so hard, and he was so awesome. And Steve's all, that's weird. When I saw him, he was just like really light sticks and just like...
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they had different drummers over the years, probably?
I'm not sure. You know that they...
Sometimes people remember stuff differently.
Sometimes, yeah. And don't forget that... Jethro Tull is not much lauded. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Lauded in the metal community.
No, especially because of the mishap.
Yeah.
The Grammys.
But when you consider the mishap and what took place and where that other band, Metallica, is at this point in time,
yeah.
In respect to from the metal community, you think people would now be joking that, yeah, that Jethro Tull was... heavier than Metallica.
Now I think Aqualung might be heavier than some of the stuff that Metallica has put out.
That album by Jethro Tull, though, was weak. You know, it was obviously those guys deserve some sort of nod somehow.
Yeah.
You know.
It was Fix. Fix!
Yeah.
It was a fix! But yeah, J.J. Cale, he died. I'm trying to find out how. I think he was just old. But I never found out. But you know what? He had a hit single in 1972 that peaked at number 22 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 called Crazy Mama. That's it. And you would have thought that he would have done that or that someone else would have had a hit with a song that was hit.
Mm-hmm.
But That's weird. The songs that he didn't have hits with were hits by other people. Oh, he died of a heart attack.
Maybe it went crazy, mommy.
Yeah, maybe. He just released an album about 3 years ago.
He recorded a lot, didn't he? And he was around for like 5 decades in the music scene.
Yeah, he had singles in the late 50s as Johnny Cale and the Johnny Cale Quintet.
Wow.
And then in 65 was his first debut as J.J. Cale. A few singles.
Did ya?
And then his studio albums ranged from 1972 to 2009.
Now, was he the first person to go double initials on the first as a guitarist? Would CC have gone CC?
KK Downing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
From Judas Priest and CC DeVille. And
I always want to say JJ French, but he actually spells his out.
Yep. He sure does. So, yeah, that's a good question. How many rockers are there that go by letter? I can't think of it.
ZZ.
Old ZZ Hill.
Yep.
That's ZZ that old Hill. ZZ Hill. I'm sticking my dick in mashed potatoes. No, wait, that's...
Were you around Oregon on Friday?
You mean
what parts were you around?
On Friday?
Yeah.
Shit, dude. I was in Brownsville, I know that, and then...
how was the...
I didn't leave the town.
How was the weather?
The weather was hot. Not too hot. Hot enough that we went to the river.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. What happened Friday?
Well, just a quick fact while you remember that, what happened Friday.
I'm glad you reminded me.
It was 91 here. I remember looking at the TV when it was here, and 97 in Redmond. And in Astoria, it was 66.
That's a huge difference.
60, yeah, like over 30 degrees.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just from the coast, and that's an hour away to the coast?
Yeah, I think Friday I hung out in the house around the air conditioner quite a bit that day because it was kind
of
hot.
It was the hottest day of the week that I recall.
And then I went down to visit my dad because I got a crazy story.
Okay,
so I've been talking about going to cut some trees down. Because we're going to be needing some wood for the upcoming colder months, which will be coming our way. I think I mentioned we do about 5-6 cords of wood. So my dad came out there with me, and he's like, okay, we want to cut down this tree because it's dying and it's dead and it's in the way of our view. We want to cut down this tree, and we got some other ones. So we scouted out for about an hour, looking at trees, talking, just taking our time. So we get the chainsaw out, get it all revved up, and we cut one tree down. And so my dad's standing there, and he's like pushing on the tree, like, that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
The tree's going to go whatever. It's fucking huge.
Whichever way gravity wants it to go.
And whichever way it's leaning. And I've cut the notch in it, so I'm thinking it's going to fall this way. Well, it's got a kind of a bend in it, so it starts to go back, and it pinches the chainsaw.
Ooh.
And so I was like, okay, you got to go get some wedges. And he's like, well, I'll go get the tractor in case you can't get it because we got a really long thing. We can pull it over the way we want it to go. But that's a little bit dangerous. So.
Yeah.
So we get these. We got these wooden or they're hard plastic wedges, and you just pound them in.
Make them go the way that you want
exactly,
it to go.
Exactly, and then it fell over. By the time he came back with the tractor, so it was a waste of his time, and I'm just thinking to myself, Dad, you're 70. I love you, and I appreciate your help, but you should go in the house, and it's 90. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Wednesday this was going down, last Wednesday. And so then we get over to the next tree, and it's not leaning the way that we don't want it to, and it's just going down perfect. I cut the piece out, but he's still thinking that he has to push on it. Now, I wanted to tell him. I want to say, Dad, but I didn't because he's my dad, and he wants to help. And that's air quotes, help. So he's pushing on the tree, and I'm thinking to myself, you don't need to be pushing on the tree because it's going to fall that way anyway. And then as it starts to go, because he's kind of got his weight on it, I see it start to go. And he goes, oh, it's starting to go. And as it starts to go, he kind of steps forward a tiny bit. Right as I'm pulling the saw out, nicked his leg right below his knee with the tip of the chainsaw. Dude, freaked me out. Like, if it was any farther one way or the other, it could have, like, cut his leg off or hit an artery in his leg. So he's got old dude shorts on, which old dude shorts go about halfway down your thighs. And he's got Crocs on with no fucking socks.
What?
Yeah. He wasn't even supposed to be out there helping me. He was just out there watching. I've been watching the American Logger show. I want to make sure you're, you know, cutting the notch in the right place. And so it happened so fast. He's like, oh, it's going. And so I pull it out, and he kind of went forward because the tree went forward. And then as he stepped back, then I – and he's like – he didn't even feel it. And I saw the little – and, you know, it barely touched him like maybe a quarter of an inch, but that's a fucking chain. I had my finger off the tree. Yeah, and luckily it was dull. He was just going, you should sharpen that blade before we cut this next tree down. It was kind of rough.
Did it draw blood?
Oh, dude, yeah. I had to – okay. The story gets even better.
Okay.
So I see the cut on his leg, and then all of a sudden I see, like, blood just pouring down his leg, and he kind of puts his knee in like pigeon-toed, and, oh, he kind of grabs it, and he's just going, oh, not loud, just like that, oh. And then I was like, oh, shit, and I had my shirt in my belt loop because I had my shirt off.
Uh-huh.
So and by that time I'd got a look at it and saw that it was about a 3-inch gash right below the last bone below your knee on the outside of his thigh, just the meaty mm-hmm. area there. And then when I looked closer as I was grabbing my shirt, I could see that it was a good quarter inch to a third inch deep.
Yeah,
and
tore up some flesh.
And it was a good eighth of an inch wide. And he hadn't looked at it yet because he was just going, ah. And I just took my shirt and I wrapped around it. I was like, look, you have to have stitches right now. Now, my first instinct of cutting my leg, and I'm just like my dad, would be, leave me alone. I want to go in the house and clean it up and look at it and see. I knew by looking at it, he needed stitches immediately.
Certainly.
He's 70 years old. It was pouring down his leg. He could get dizzy from loss of blood. His wife, my stepmom, Donna, was in the house. She comes out. What happened? And I told her, and I go, do you have a first aid kit with some gauze? And she's like, nope. And I go, well, go grab a towel, because it was still bleeding pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just kind of going, oh. And then we get in the house. I go, Dad, you're not going in the house. Go to the car. Go straight to the car. Donna's going to get your keys, Donna. And they're like going, what? And I go, there's a urgent care in Brownsville now at the end of the one-way street right across from the library. Go there now. I go, because he needs stitches. Where's that towel? And she's like, right here. And so I, like, wrapped it around his leg and kind of tied it off and walked him to the car. And he's, like, still going, can I just go? And I was like, no, you got to get you're going to the doctor. And right as I'm putting him in the car, kind of, I didn't have to put him in the car. He was limping, but he could walk just fine. He's like, why did you do that to me, Terry? And it was a burn to me, but he was just joking, you know, so... I had never been to that urgent care, and I'd known my wife and my stepson had went there for certain things that weren't I'm bleeding emergency things,
stitches.
And they'd have to wait for like 45 minutes sometimes. So I called Dana. She's down on the river with the kids, enjoying the day in the river while I'm up there cutting my dad's leg off with a chainsaw. And so I call her. I said, she's like, what happened? I heard the chainsaw stop, because she could hear the chainsaw from where she was. I was like, it's not a big deal. I go, Dad, we cut dad's leg. I didn't want to say I cut it, because I was like, but I just wanted to call. And she's like, you sound freaked out. And I go, well, I'm a little freaked out, but I'm fine. I go, I just want to make sure that when he goes up there, they're going to take care of him, because he was bleeding pretty bad. And I don't want him to, you know, whatever. She goes, oh, no, if he's bleeding and needs stitches, that takes priority, and they'll take right good care of him. So he ended up getting, like, 20 plus stitches on the inside, and then
10
staples on the outside. It's about almost four.
That's a good amount, man.
Oh, man, yeah. And he's telling me when he got back, it didn't hurt. It didn't really hurt.
I'd imagine he was probably more in shock.
The adrenaline was what was going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gashed my shin pretty bad and needed 9 on the inside and 11 on the outside, and I didn't feel that. It was
until a couple days later when
because
they shot him up with lidocaine or whatever, mm-hmm. and his whole leg was numb. He's like, I don't feel anything right now.
Yeah,
and
you feel a few pinpricks, and then after that, you know, it almost hurts more just when they pull the stitches out, when they have that dried blood and you feel the thing, and that's nothing.
Yeah, so that was last Wednesday, and he has to go in on the coming Friday to get him taken out. But he was in a little more pain. Like 2 days later, we went down and saw him, and it said that he talked to my brother on the phone and my cousin who had borrowed the wood splitter and came down. And he's like, of course. He goes, I'm not trying to tell everybody that. I was like, I've been telling people I wanted my dad to be more like me, so I tried to cut his leg off with a chainsaw. He goes, that's kind of funny. He goes, but both your brother and your cousin said you should probably use this experience and make it into some kind of a joke for your, because, you know, you do stories
Certainly.
About your life. And I was like, I was hoping that you wouldn't be offended. He's like, totally wouldn't be the opposite. He goes, I'd be honored to be part of your... Because I already
have that was the first thing I was thinking. You know?
I already have that bit about my dad's chainsaw, which it wasn't my dad's that I saw the sticker on, but it had a sticker that said, do not attempt to stop the chain with your hands or your genitals.
Yeah.
I haven't used that joke for a while, but it's funny. It makes people laugh.
Certainly.
And I could, you know, mix that in there, but I was like... He goes, you just got to think of something to where it's really funny and not just like some story about accidentally cutting your dad's leg with a chainsaw. And I was like, well, I got this. Let me try it out on you. And he's like, all right. I go, so, you know, when your parents are getting older and you're trying to work and they're out there trying to help you with air quotes, and you're just wishing, God, you can't say nothing to them. You just wish dad would go in the house. I go, so I just fucking nicked him with a chainsaw a little bit. Dad, go to the fucking doctor and get in the house. And he laughed really hard. And the few older people that were his friends that I told that joke said, that's pretty funny. I have to work on the delivery and the setup as well. But
certainly,
I think
it'd be
funny
and you can go into, you know, just like...
I just nicked him a little bit on purpose just to get him out of my hair.
And he was like, zing.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, get in the house.
Yep.
He's like, ah, why did you do that?
I just tapped him with a chainsaw.
You know, if I would have been... And the doctor said, you know, if you would have been a quarter of an inch... farther right or right the way towards him, you know, you would have hit that main.
It's not like I did any damage. No. I just gave him 30 stitches or so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I didn't hit an artery, which it was precisely calculated.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't. You know, and that artery that they replace your heart valve with or whatever, that's a big one in your leg. If you get that sucker cut down there, sometimes you can die from loss of blood. So.
The main ones that go down to your extremities.
Yep. So anybody that listens to the show who knows me personally and knows my
dad's... That's crazy, man. I'm glad to hear that he's doing okay, though.
Send your prayers out to my dad. He's healing up fine. But check this out. Same day. So my brother's an avid former firefighter. Mm-hmm. Always has a scanner in his house, so he always knows what's going on. It's one of those...
Breaker.
We got a 211 right back to the same thing. So, like, 3 hours after this accident happened, a dude in Harrisburg is cutting through some big-ass log, big tree. Chainsaw kicks back, takes his face out.
Damn.
Chainsaw to the face, life flight to Portland. I mean, literally, like, when it, like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre fucking
That was...
shit. Same day. And my dad was like, it just made me count my blessings of how lucky I am. And praise God, he said. And he said, praise God. I was like, dude... Praise God. Really? Praise God.
My nephew's and niece's, my sister's ex had that happen to him. He's a
kickback?
A logger. And yeah, he had a kickback.
He's a gym locker.
He is. That's his name, too. Jim Locker.
Jim the Logger.
Yep, Jim Logger.
Hey, I left my stuff in the gym locker. Could you get it?
And, he had that happen to him, but I don't think it wasn't very damaging. He had some work that he needed to do to his, nose, a little bit on the side of the nose, but I don't think it was, like, extreme. Not like, if you remember, I think that was the SickFest 3, when poster was that guy that had his face split in half and was half of it was hanging down. But I think that was from a machete.
Was that
if
real?
I remember correct. Yeah. Yeah, I looked up gruesome pictures, the sickest pictures I could find, and then I'd turn them black and white to make them...
Less gross. So, yeah, I don't know how many people are paying attention out there or even care, but we are broadcasting live from the TagCast studios. Why should I say this? Because we postponed our road trip. It was supposed to be yesterday. We were supposed to go down to Eugene, but we've been kind of busy. I have, anyway, and shit's going on, and I didn't get a hold of the people that I was supposed to get a hold of, and... I don't think Dustin did either.
No, we were just, we took one last month and we kind of, it was kind of ambitious maybe to throw one up and we could have made it happen. But,
we could have. It's better to do it at the beginning or the middle of the month, at least for monetary purposes. And I think, like I might have mentioned before, we might be able to use the podcast cast second location studios there in Eugene. Rather than going to a restaurant or a bar that's going to be all noisy or whatever. But so, yeah, just postponed, not canceled. We will be heading to Eugene soon. Hopefully the people I want to talk to and hopefully they will oblige me is Mike McGowan. I'd love to get him on the show still. Still have the questions from the last time he was supposed to be on here. And he's been doing a comedy showcase for about coming up on a year now. Every second Friday of the month there, the Pantsless Comedy Show. So, yeah, just postponed, not canceled. We'll get down there. Shit, we were, I know we haven't talked about spirits or ghosts yet, but we were going over some riffs. We weren't really playing with the drums. It was just me and Robert. I was showing him some void riffs from some songs we hadn't learned yet, and we had the door open. And some weird dude comes up on a bike, and he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" We're like, "Not much. We're just, He's like, "Yeah." And then he started talking all this weird shit, and he wouldn't leave and stop talking. He was like, "I'm all about spirits, man." He's like, "You want a cigarette? American spirits." I'm like, "Okay, you're all about American spirits?" And he's like, "No, like auras and shit and ghosts and spirits." I was like, "I don't really believe in that stuff." And he's like, "Oh, well, what do you guys?" He's probably 50.
Did you ask him what color your aura was?
I didn't. I was really trying to
ask him what.
I was in the middle of doing something that I thought was important, and like Robert had to go pretty soon, so I'm like trying to figure out these riffs, and I'm trying to write out this tablature, and I'm pushing pause, and I'm going, it's my own songs that I wrote, but I haven't played them for 20 years, so I don't know how they go. So I'm having to learn it like a cover band, and I'm writing down the riffs, and he's all, "What do you guys do? Hey, you guys drinking? You drinking a beer?" We're like, "No, we're not. Why would you think that?" And he's like, "Well, I was just going to say, if you guys wanted to drink, I'll fly if you buy." And Robert's a real nice guy. And he's like, "Hey, dude." And he was like trying to be nice to him. He's like, "Oh, spirits? Yeah, what do you see right now?" He's like, "I'm hearing like some evil. Like, you guys are like, why has everybody got to be so angry and like hateful?" I was like, because he was hearing clips of victims and then us playing the riffs, and it's... And I was like, "We're not angry, and most of our fans aren't angry. They're just, it's aggression." It's like, "I saw aggression firsthand in Vietnam." Like, Jesus Christ, what's this guy doing? So, yeah, so then came the "I'll fly if you buy," which is like, "I'll run across the street and get us some beer and drink it if you pay for it.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, you know what, dude?" He goes, "I don't drink, but I would like a soda. I'd like Coke. You want to get me a Coke?" He's like, "You can get whatever you want." Trying to be nice to the guy. He's on a bike, looked kind of homeless, acted kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy comes back, and he's got a 16-ounce Mike's hard something or other. It was one of those new things. It's probably, and a couple Cokes. And then he's like, "What kind of music do you guys like?" When it's obviously we're listening to death metal. He's like, "You look like CCR kind of guy," to Robert Johnson. And Robert Johnson has a really good beard that would give like Jim Louder a run for his money right now. And he's like, "Where do you get your beard from?" And that's a weird question. And I thought, like, do you get it online? Or he's like, "Oh, probably from my dad." And that would be hilarious if you would have fucked with him and said, "My mom, she had a huge beard. I'm pretty sure I get it from her." So he's asking all
that Alec Baldwin can grow a pretty mean, fast beard.
Really? I've only seen him with a thick mustache. Oh, Alec Baldwin. I was thinking of Alex Trebek. That's weird. I've never seen him with a beard,
It's a commercial where he's out hanging out with the Amish and they have a beard growing contest.
Ah. There's a Chris Castle's short film on YouTube from years ago where he's just sitting, and he's like, "I wish my beard would grow out faster." And he's just like, he's trying to grow his beard out by like, and his whole head exploded. It was pretty odd. And then it was
that
like
was
30
basically
seconds.
The clip, and then
really,
and then it was
they stole.
Well,
it was
two guys competing, and then Alec Baldwin said, "Done," and then it panned out to him, and he had a full Amish beard.
It's
one of those Citibank commercials that he's always in.
God damn him. I never get to see those, so I'm glad you keep me filled in. But anyway. This guy kept on. He's talking about, why are people so angry? I said it's more aggression. People like when they see this music or when they hear this music, they just want to run around in circles and push each other. But if you fall down, they'll help you out. Like, they're not mad and they're not trying to hurt anybody. They're just like getting some aggression out. That's when he started talking about more spirits and auras, and he's like, "Hey, I got a song." Like, all right. He was like, let's play it. I was like, how does it go?
How does that work?
He's like, I'm going to write it right now.
Uh-huh.
And Robert's all, I got a piece of paper and a pen right here. You want it? Because he was totally like egging him on, but trying to be real nice. And I was just like, fucking kind of keep my back to him and push and play and going and stopping it and then writing down some things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get the message to him because Robert only had about 15 minutes left and we were trying to get finished with this one thing. And then he's like, okay, here's your pen and your pad. And he's like, all right. He's like, write it, man. He goes, put the date at the top and sign it at the bottom. He's like, what's the date? And Robert goes, it's 9, which was wrong. It's funny. He said it was 9/28. 2013 was really 7/28.
Yeah,
the day that this.
Maybe maybe he was asking, "What is a date?"
Yeah, what's a date? I've never been on one. Wait,
yeah,
I've never
seen. Wait, you said a calendar.
He had a Portland Marathon shirt on, which was weird. And then he goes, "Here's the song title," because he stepped out and we were working on the riffs, and he went outside for a minute with the tablet, and then he came back in like. 20 seconds later, he's like, I got the song. And he's holding it behind his back like a little kid. He's like, I got the song title. We're like, what is it? And he's all, wouldn't tell us. He just had to hold it out. And it's little writing on a page. We're like,
you couldn't see it.
So we give it to us. They're coming for you. That was the name of the song. We're like, all right, let's go from there. He goes, play that. I'm like, play They're Coming For You? That's a song? And he's like, yeah, let's do this. And I'm like... Okay. It's a total fucking sitcom character coming out of the woodwork right now. And then I go, you need some more lyrics, dude, and then we'll play it. I go, we just got to finish working on this one. And then, because he has to go pretty soon, he's going to see Rush tonight. And he's like, Rush? He's like, I thought I killed Rush in the 70s.
What?
He said he thought he killed them. I was like, you killed them? And he goes, well, I thought they were dead. I didn't think they... I go, they're still putting out records and touring, and their new record has been better than some of their more other recent ones. And he's like, well, fuck. That's cool. And then I was like, you need to finish those lyrics. And then he comes back in. He had three lines. And it was supposed to say... First he came in. He's like, how do you spell shown? Like I show... You show me something, and I've been shown. And Robert's all S-H-O-W-N. And he's like, all right. And then he walks back outside. He comes back in, and it's still misspelled. He says, if you've shown no mercy, no mercy will be shown to you. And then there was one other line. I can't remember it right now, because Robert took the thing. But it wasn't pertinent to it. It was just, like, totally random ramblings and just like, and then I went to the house to get a CD for Robert and came back, and then he was over there.
Is that nonsense or deep though?
Lyric? Well, it was They're Coming For You, No Mercy Will Be Shown If You Show No Mercy, or something like to that effect. And then one other line said something about being angry, or he just was trying to portray to us that what we were playing was angry and mad and why. And he's like, here's a song I know. Let me sing it for you. Like, he starts singing.
Here goes.
And I didn't recognize it, but then when he got to the chorus, he said, like a bridge over troubled water. I was like, Simon and Garfunkel, I know that. I go, don't think that I'm just some metalhead. I go, I listen to all kinds of music, classic rock. I go, but right now, we're not listening to Simon and Garfunkel. And that's when he said, you look like a CCR guy to Robert. And he's like, no, man, I listen to, like, Cannibal Corpse, Suffocation, Dying Fetus, shit like that. And he's like, whoa.
Cannibal Corpse is CC, though.
It is CCR.
Yeah. Dude, you should do Cannibal Corpse pirate covers.
CCR. We could have Cannibal Corpse versions of, like, Bad Moon, Death Rising, or something like, I see a bad moon riser.
Yeah.
And then you could do
CCR would probably be fun pirate songs, too.
Or then you could take, like, Fucked, Stripped, and Raped with a Knife and turn it into, like, a... Fucked, Stripped, Strapped with a Knife. I come blood most every night. Woo! That's kind of their lyric.
You were speaking of ghosts earlier? They like to play along when people are playing music.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Until you turn that snare thing off on the drums, they'll keep playing.
At first, I thought you were going to be serious, and it reminded me of that story of Sean, my friend, who heard the pipe organ ghost that moved to his friend's house and then turned the TV on. But it had a battery-operated TV. Unplug it still.
They have those, right?
That must have been what it was. Maybe it was
you can
packed.
Make a, if you can make an... Maybe there's a potato back there, because you can run an alarm clock on a potato.
Well, I think that an alarm clock...
Isn't that you can make an alarm clock out of a potato? Has the battery because of all the niacin or potassium or something?
I've never heard that. That's a great thing for me to look into.
You never heard you can... Yeah, it's a science project.
Potato batteries. I've heard of potato...
You could run a car on a potato, maybe. It'd have to be a big potato.
You'd have to have like maybe a whole thing full of potatoes.
It would probably bake it, though, wouldn't it?
It'd be cool if you could have some way to take like 100 potatoes and just like make it into one, kind of like you can do with hamburger. Mm-hmm. You could take 100 burgers and just smash them all into one.
Yeah.
And it'd be a big meatball. But I saw a recipe for pizza balls on the internet today.
What?
Yeah, and it's super simple. You take a regular crescent or Pillsbury.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then you just smash them flat.
Mm-hmm.
You smash those out as flat as you can get them, the regular biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put a piece of pepperoni and a little block of cheese and another piece of pepperoni, and then you wrap it up, and I'll take it.
I've done those with the crescent ones, with the ones that are triangle, and then I just roll them up.
Yeah, these ones were normal round biscuits,
just
and you just
biscuits.
Smash them. You just roll them out flat like dough. You could probably even use a roller pin.
Yeah.
And then they say before you cook them to brush them with egg. You brush the outside with egg. I didn't know that.
Sounds delicious.
Delicious egg wash.
Yeah, I think it makes it brown or something. Keeps it moist.
It gives it that glaze and it got that greasiness. Yeah. Mm, yeah. And then you just cook them or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to predict that in the future.
That's perfect because you can't predict the past.
I'm going to try. A good majority of Americans will die while texting. Not just like on the road or whatever, but even like walking, you know, is dangerous. And even just like... when you're just sitting around watching TV and you go to natural causes, you could be texting.
That's right.
Just because people text so much, chances are you're just going to be
texting in that minute. Yep. If you're driving and texting, you could die.
Yeah, that's just going to increase your odds.
If you're driving in Texas, you could die. Mm-hmm. If you're texting in Texas, you could die. Or if it was, you could have a heat stroke.
Dude, isn't that a Wasp song, texting and texting?
I'm blind and texting.
Oh.
No, it's called I'm blind and texting. Because it's hard to text when you're
blind.
You know, I tried that when a long time ago when I just thought I was getting really good at the tick, 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 tick. Remember the old school texting where you had to push the numbers a certain amount of times to get to the letter? I was getting so good at it, and then my screen broke on my phone, but my phone still worked.
So you couldn't see it.
I was trying, and I would send test texts. Blind and Texan. I think that's the name of this episode.
Dude, you know what, though?
I'm blind and texting.
You know that...
I'm blind and texting!
If
I miss a letter, it's not because I can't spell.
If you busted out that song, dude, that would be a number one on iTunes.
I know. I'm blind and texting, so if I misspell a word, it's not because I'm illiterate.
That could be...
If I say fuck you, I might have wanted to say thank you. Because I'm blind and texting. Texting!
There was a blind gal who won MasterChef on that reality TV show.
Wow.
MasterChef.
That's pretty good for blind.
Yeah.
But blind texting.
She came out with a cookbook. I think we talked about this, and then you asked
Braille. Oh, man. Okay, I guess I do remember blind cooks. Yeah. But, shit, blind. Oh, dying of texting. That's what you thought.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in the third world countries, they might not die while texting, you know, because.
That is true.
I mean, there's hundreds of people in Africa.
Well, didn't we
literally.
Didn't we send them computers at one point, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, we made it cheap for them to buy computers, so at some point we'll probably just go, hey, you guys want cell phones over there? We've got so many old cell phones, what are we going to do with them?
Some people are so insensitive to people. Like in Ethiopia, there are literally thousands of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Literally.
That's all.
Did you know Did you know, you might not know this because you're not sports fluent.
Oh, I love baseball, though. Just listen, last week we talked about that for a while.
Yeah, and then, but you know, when you see a team win a championship and then they immediately have all their shirts that say champion and stuff, you know?
Yeah, they're already pre-printed.
Yeah.
What do they happen to all the loser teams?
They send them over to third world countries like that for clothing.
So you see, like, Miami Dolphin NFL champions.
Yeah, 1994, which never happened.
Oh, that. You didn't win.
Yeah, you can see them in their little ads and stuff.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. And maybe it was on a, also, I think someone pointed that out in some kind of a sitcom or something. And
maybe.
Maybe they were helping out overseas, and he was like, is that a 94 Dolphins champ? They didn't win that year. They did play, but they didn't win.
It might have been Arrested Development now that I'm thinking about it.
Maybe. I tried watching the last episode. Now, I've told you I still don't have internet, but I came across this new
last
thing.
Last episode of?
Arrested Development, just to see where 5 would start.
Uh-huh.
So there's this app. I don't know how new it is. Leave it to your kids to tell you about something new. Haven't had internet for a while, even on my Kindle. And I was complaining last week about having to, you know, collect my data and then not being able to just copy and paste some stuff, you know.
Certainly.
So he said there's this app called One Click Tether app.
One Click Tether app.
So you push One Click Tether app, free app, and all of a sudden you got a wireless signal in your house.
Wow.
For free. So it's free enough that it'll work my Kindle. I got it to load on my Wii.
It's got to be tethering from some sort of signal, though.
It's called DIY neighborhood gadgets or something weird like that. Mm-hmm. When you look on the thing and it comes up. So I got it on
my Wii. Yeah.
I got Netflix to load. I got it to play for like 3 minutes after it took like 10 minutes of going, just filling up the first time.
Yeah.
And so then I thought maybe I could push pause and just let it load for like an hour and a half while I'm doing something
else. I was doing
that
earlier today.
Yeah. And, you know, just pretend you got dial up. And, but unfortunately, not just Cricket, but even when I had Verizon, I've got spotty coverage inside my house. Mm-hmm. So it'll go from 3G, and then it'll go to 1X, and then it'll go 2 bars, and then it'll go no service just for a second. So that doesn't
work. Who has good reception inside their house? Does anyone?
Maybe someone who lives on a cell phone tower.
No, I'm just saying that I think it's a conspiracy.
They want you to have landlines.
Yeah, they want you to... never be fully satisfied with their service.
Because it works good in, like, inside Walmart.
Yeah.
That's like being inside a house, a really big house. But
yeah. I don't think they want your service to ever work perfectly.
Inside your own house? Or
ever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Ever. They never want you to be completely satisfied.
For sure.
Because then you'll expect it.
That's right. And once you expect it...
You go, it was working perfectly that one time. Why can't it now?
And then, right when you least expect it. I had given up, and then I set my phone down. I turn around, 3G, 4 bars. And I was like, fuck, I just turned the Wii off and gave up because it was going 1X, 3 bars, 3G.
Maybe was it because you turned the Wii off, though?
Maybe.
Maybe you had too many gadgets going on
it? No, I didn't have any.
Maybe it's too much load.
And it would not load on a laptop. I didn't try it on mine, but Mike said when he did it, it went to the Cricket page to pay for
like
a tethering.
Your internet service?
Yeah. But when I did
for tethering?
Yeah. See, when I did it on here, though, it worked.
It must have a limit on what you can do for free then.
It's called DIY Phone Gadgets Community.
And then if you want more to like power laptops and like high gadgets, it probably...
It seemed to work for my Kindle.
Limited.
It was just slow enough to where I could load pages like a lot of text that I get my information from. But if I wanted to watch a YouTube video or any other type of video that I might want to watch.
I got some YouTube you should check out. You ever watch much of the Steve Harvey Family Feud?
I was just watching a couple episodes the other night.
Hilarious shit.
You know what's weird? You ever have a show that you don't watch very often, but then when you watch it, it's the same fucking episode, the last?
Every fucking show I watch,
How does that happen?
It's always like King of Queens shows that have been around for like nine seasons.
The one time I decide to watch this, They've fucking played 800 episodes since the last time I watched it, and they're playing the same fucking episode. I thought I recognized this black family.
That happens to me all the time, dude.
Now, maybe I should use that, because people love stuff that's relatable. And when you come up with something that you think might only happen to you, and someone on stage says it in front of a group of people, and you go, you ever have that when you haven't watched a show for like 5 months, and you just happen to tune in, it's the same fucking episode, like right where you left off? Like... Or maybe you already watched it, and I saw this black family, not to be racist, because a lot of people say if you're racist, you think all black people look alike. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, this black family looks familiar.
King of the Hill is kind of like that,
and their
too.
Names kind of sound familiar. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting every question right, and I was like, wait, I saw this the last time I watched this, and Steve Harvey's making a joke, because this black family's like, they're asking stuff about...
You like this ribbon.
Yeah, and they got a lot of questions that that incite sexual innuendo answers.
They do.
Yeah.
And then he'll, like, make a joke about it and, like, get all fucking wide-eyebrowed and go, listen to this.
Dude, he's great working a crowd, isn't he?
Yeah,
he works those 10 brilliantly.
And there was a guy on there that was one of the brothers or kids of the family, the white family that was against the black family, and because that's the way I look at everything. It's always black and white. But he's all, what do you do? And he's like, well, this is my job that I do, but I'm actually would love to be, I'm kind of an aspiring stand-up comedian, and all my friends have always told me that I'm super funny. So we're kind of like, me and you, Steve, we're like on the same wavelength, if you know what I mean. He's like, all right. He's like, yeah, I knew that ever since I saw you, man. Me and you, we're fucking, I am you. You are me. He's like, no, you're wrong. That's not. He's pretty funny, though.
He has his own daytime show, too, I do believe.
The Steve Harvey Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's.
That's when you know you're popular, when you can get just your show.
That's
just
when you know you're born.
Your name show. That. You're like, hi, welcome to the Terry Gile Show. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about me, Terry Gile. I'm going to have some guests on, and every time they're on, I'll be talking with them because it's the Terry Gile Show. Maybe later we'll have some music from Terry Gile. And.
These are a couple of the Family Feud questions that they had on the other day.
Oh, I love those. Name a place.
Name
where...
something you wipe off after you're done with it. What's your guess?
Cum rag. I mean, I can't say that on national TV. Your mouth.
I don't know which one that was, but I imagine that might have played in, but most of it was like maybe your toothbrush or something like that. But the number one for answer when it went back to the other family was your butt.
Oh, yeah, when you're done
and,
with
but
it.
But when it flipped over, it said, my pooper.
Whoa.
That's what it said.
That's weird how you'll call something and sometimes, because there was a funny thing that was kind of sexual on the episode I was watching that said, name something that an ex-girlfriend might lie about. Wait. Name something that a girl might lie to a friend about her ex-boyfriend. And they were like, that he was crazy. And that he was cheap. And that he was a cheater. You know, all these things.
Yeah.
And then the last answer, the comeback, like, we're gonna ready to steal. And they're like, the size of his,
yeah.
You know, like his personal, his, privates. Because he didn't know how to say it. And he's like, you guys huddled together for 3 minutes trying to come up with an answer to steal. And you come up with you private parts. All right. Can I see private parts? And it was like little dinghy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't small penis or private parts. It was and it was in parentheses or in quotes. Little dinghy spelt like the boat, like D-I-N-G-H-Y.
You think Steve Harvey writes those answers?
Maybe.
Those aren't surveyed.
No. You think they actually said that? 35 people out of 100 said
maybe
little
the final one. Maybe the bonus round, because the bonus rounds are pretty straight answers.
Oh, yeah,
questions,
for sure.
You know, like how... How much older do you look than you think you
see, and he kept messing up and going, all right, so we're going to give you 25 seconds on the clock. Clock starts as soon as I read the first question correctly without messing it up. And it was like, all right, how much money do you think a stay-at-home mom housewife should be paid? The lady said $100,000. Four people said $100,000. So then either the husband or the brother or someone came out on the second one and he said $35,000 and he was like right when he said he's like only like five people said that. The number one answer was $30,000. For stay-at-home mom, that's a fucking hard job. Actually,
it is.
When I was a stay-at-home mom, I didn't get paid shit.
Here's another one that they had. Name something you hope doesn't fall apart while you are while riding them.
A unicorn.
That would be one.
No.
Like lawnmower, bicycle.
Horse.
Yep.
No.
Somebody said, and this was on there.
Dildo.
My wife.
I hope she doesn't fall apart while you're riding her.
Yep. That was actually on the board, too.
That worked. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just the wife or the partner, your spouse?
I said wife.
Wow.
I know. It feels like 3 o'clock daytime.
Must have been 100 men surveyed.
100 men surveyed.
Sometimes it's 100 people.
My wife.
The answer is always my wife. My baby's mama. My baby's mama.
I wonder what would happen if you just answered my wife to every Family Feud question ever surveyed.
Did you see Price is Right where the dude just answered 420 on everyone?
No.
And he was up there for a long time because he never won.
Yeah, but did he finally?
No.
Oh, damn it.
I don't think so. He might have if he went 14-20 on one, but I can't remember. But yeah, he did like 5 bids, and it was I think it was still with Bob Barker. They're like, all right, contest number 2, what are you bidding? He's like, 420.
That's fucking hilarious.
So you did that like 5 times.
You could do the 666.
I heard their Price is Right's coming to Springfield.
Really?
We should go. We'll bring our record Tagcast podcast sign or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Terry and Gatch comedy show.
We could do we should do like the Athearchist where we'll just take a U-Haul over there and we'll do our comedy show in the parking lot there.
Hey, the price is wrong, bitch. Hey, check it out. If you guys could guess the wrong price on this, you'll win nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's just like that game.
We'll take away money if you get it right.
Right. So I was kind of bummed last week. I missed Cheap Trick at the fair. Some people went to see it and said that it was pretty good, and I saw some videos, and it sounded like the dude was actually singing pretty good, but they didn't have the drummer that I was saying that they were going to have. Bunny Carlos was not there, so I'm not so sad that I missed it, but I did want to go see Cheap Trick. I've never seen him.
I heard Cheech is drumming for him now. They're Cheech Trick.
Cheech Trick.
Yep.
And they're playing, they're touring with that one band. Shit, it escapes me now, but I'll think of it later.
Bang a chong.
No, chong along ding dong. Yeah, and don't forget, Friday, you guys should go out to the Benton County Fairs, and there's only one of them. But just go to the fair and watch Witch Mountain open for Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
That's on the 2nd. That should be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Jerry Murphy.
Bacchus always has a place in history, you know? There is Johann Sebastian Bach. There was Sebastian Bach. And then there is
my parents didn't want
Blue
me to
Oyster Bach.
They didn't want me to listen to Bach because they thought it was a cult.
Cult
of the Blue Oysters.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see.
They're like, is that cult music? I was like, yeah, they were singing about Godzilla and Reapers.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, you shouldn't fear the Reapers.
Extraterrestrial Intelligence was one of the favorite songs of mine ever from Agents of Fortune. Great
song.
And
that's like anti-religious song, right? Like, don't fear the Reaper because don't Christians want you to fear the Reaper?
Well, I think it's more about don't be afraid of dying. Which reminds me, was listening to the new Black Sabbath again yesterday. Hadn't listened to it for a while, so I give it a reprise.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a song that says, I don't want to live forever, but I don't want to die. I thought when I wasn't paying attention, I thought he said, I don't want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die. Which I thought would have been a classic lyric for Black Sabbath. Because, you know, if he dies, he's not going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Not after pissing on the Alamo.
Oh, no, man. That's fucking gross.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful, in my opinion.
Hmm. But yeah,
speaking,
dried up quickly,
speaking of Ozzy, I saw Jerry Murphy over the weekend. He was driving past my house, and he stopped by to chat for a few minutes.
Right on.
He had a couple songs. You know how he likes to record a cappella songs into his phone?
Ah.
He's like, well, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm saying something now, and I put a little melody behind it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be something good, you know, and a good melody. And he's actually a fairly good singer. And so he's like, I don't want you to get offended, but I wrote this song for you. And he goes, I know we're not best friends, but that's just like part of the lyrics. And it was called Peggy, about my peg leg. He's all, Peg! Peggy! You know we're best friends. I can't remember all the lyrics, but it's about being best friends, and you're always there for me to lean on, and you got a foot, something to keep in our friendship, a foot. And it was like all these puns about legs and shit. And, it was, and then he'd always come back to the chorus, Peg! Oh, Peggy! You're my best friend, something, something. So I want him to...
You should have him add something about you're always trying to cut off other people's legs.
Well, this was before...
Yeah.
It had to be before that happened. No, it was after that happened, but I don't think I was bragging too much to people. Hey, yeah. What'd you do? I tried to cut my dad's leg off. My dad's leg off.
I think you should start using that as a threat. I'll cut your fucking leg off.
With a chainsaw.
I did it to myself. Just I'll do it to you.
I did it to my dad, but I chickened out at the last minute, and plus he saw me coming and he moved.
No, just tell people that's how you lost it. You cut off your own leg just to show some guy that you'd do it to him.
I wouldn't give him the key to my safe, so I just cut my own leg off. So you think you're getting any information out of me by torturing me? I'll cut my own fucking leg off. No, it was actually a shark attack. Sharknado.
Some shark I heard just recently ate some drowning lady.
I don't doubt it. Those fuckers are hungry, and when you got a tornado full of them, that's crazy. And just check this out. Sharknado is headed to movie theaters for one day only.
That's funny.
This Friday.
It's a big hit.
Sci-Fi Channel's instant cult classic Sharknado is set to screen for one night only.
That's hilarious.
In select U.S. movie theaters.
That's awesome. Sci-Fi should, because they make, you know, I mean...
But isn't that like a TV-14 in the theaters? Or is it a PG-13?
I don't know.
That's weird.
But they're hammy movies, and they're, you know, they're fun, and
I just thought of
they're in the vein of Godzilla, right?
Yeah,
and so they're keeping that kind of a thing alive. They're
Zilla
not
NATO
huge budgets or anything.
Now I just thought of something weird.
All right,
you got PG-13 for movies.
Uh huh.
Then you got TV-14. Now, a TV-14 is less offensive and less profanity than a PG-13, because you can say fuck once in a PG-13 movie as long as you're not talking about the act of sex.
Yeah, but I think 14 you might be able to be pretty suggestive on TV with sex.
But you can't say shit, like, fuck.
What about like all those dorky sitcoms like According to Jim and all those? Are those are full of like innuendo-ish shit.
Yeah.
Or who else? Carlos Mencia, I saw, was on a ghost show.
Oh, yeah. You had mentioned something about that. You said that he was stealing ghost stories from other people.
He was stealing ghost stories. You know, he's stealing jokes from Lenny Bruce.
He's like, yeah, man, this ghost came up to me and he turned on the TV and I unplugged it and it stayed on and I ran home. It's like, well, dude, I already heard that story from someone else.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Delivery is what it's all about, man.
No, he was just saying a Mexican ghost in front of it.
Yeah, I just say Mexican and then it's mine. Yeah, I wonder what else he's doing as far as comedy. Is he doing anything?
I don't know.
Well.
Sidetrack, but what's in Hansa City?
Sidetrack.
I don't know.
What's in Hansa City?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What's in Hansa City?
I don't know.
We're going to find out today.
I don't know.
What's in Hansa City? Player?
I don't know.
CD,
hey, there's Al.
What's up, Al?
Thanks for stopping in for a 30-second spot. That was awesome. Thought you were in Australia. Hans is listening to, because it's Monday, Hans is listening to a band that I've never heard of. Now, I've heard of The Place, but I didn't know it was a band where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, this is a weird title. So the band's called Bethlehem. Oh, little band of Bethlehem has a band that Hans has listened to. They have an album called, and this is an acronym, I would imagine, capital S, capital U, little I, big Z, little I, big D. Squizzed? No, there's no Q. Suizid. S-U-I-Z-I-D. It's like twisted, kind of. Suizid. Suizid. But the
suicide?
I.
Suicide?
Suicide. Suicide. Could be. Little eyes, though. Lowercase eyes. He's got little eyes. What do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. What do you call a deer with no legs and no eyes? Still no idea.
Dead honky.
Dead honky. That reminds me of I was thinking of racist jokes because of the whole, I don't know, the whole black thing with Steve Harvey and the black families all look alike, like I said. Now, when I was a kid, like between 5 and 10, I used to hear a lot of racist jokes, a lot of Polack jokes.
Are you saying that you think Steve Harvey's family's on every show?
Yeah, Steve Harvey's Family Feud. No, but the racist people, I don't know. Like when I was a kid, you heard a lot of racist jokes. And like I heard one that was pretty degrading to black people, but it was a Polack joke.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm going to share it with you and see if you've ever heard it. I heard this when I was a small child. So there's three black dudes are driving down the road in a pickup truck, and they got a big load of garbage in the back. Mm-hmm. And the tarp's flapping, and there's pieces of garbage flying off, and they get pulled over by a cop. Now, in today's day and age, the joke would go to the cop beat the black people or whatever, but this joke didn't even go there. The cop pulled them over and said, hey, you got some garbage flying out of the back of your truck. Not racial profiling. Nothing was in that joke. It was just like, you got some garbage flying out of the back of your truck, and unless you can get it not flying out, you guys can't drive down the road. So, you know, if I catch you again, he just let him go with the warning. Get that taken care of. So they started talking amongst themselves. They had no more tarps. But one of the dudes was super fat. And they said, well, hey, Bubba, why don't you get on the back and just lay on there and hold it all down so it doesn't fly off? So they went down the road a little bit and tried it, and nothing flew off. They're like, all right, we're almost there. Just lay back there a little longer when we get to where we're going. And so they're coming up to an overpass, and there's two Polacks on top of the overpass.
Mm-hmm.
Truck drives by. One Polack says to the other, come here, check this out. The truck goes by. It's like somebody threw away a perfectly good N-word. So it's saying Polacks are stupid because he thought somebody threw a perfectly good N-word away. But really,
Polack jokes work very well like that.
You say the N-word and nobody even cares. Now if you were to say that joke, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. I remember an old classic Polack joke about three guys who met in the desert, and the first one brought some water, and the second one got there, and he said, why'd you bring water? And he's like, well, if we get thirsty, you know, we'll need some water. And the other one brought some oranges, and he said, well, why did you bring some oranges? And he said, well, you know, we might get hungry. And here comes the third guy with a car door, and they said, why'd you bring a car door? And he said, well, in case it gets hot, we can roll the window down.
Yeah, I heard one pretty familiar.
I don't think they all three were Polacks.
No, there was two. One I heard was two. I heard that one too, but there was one that was two Polacks walking in the desert. And the one Polack says to the other, he goes, dude, is that an umbrella? And he's like, yeah. He's like, why would you bring an umbrella? We're in the desert. It's never going to rain. He's like, instant shade. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing with that car dash? He's like, well, I just figured if it got too hot, we could turn on the AC. Which is basically roll down the window.
Yeah, same thing. Except for, well, it's newer because you wouldn't have the one before 1960. Yeah.
When the AC came
and
out.
What would it have been before 1890 when the cars were made? It would have been like something to do with a carriage. You brought the carriage door with them.
The carriage door. I bought the horse's tail. I don't know. Hey, what was your last cheese purchase?
Oh, I bought some cheese the other day. I bought some Swiss.
Really?
Shredded Swiss. How often do you see shredded swish?
Not that often.
You don't get anything shredded at Lowell's.
This is weird to me. That's true. But you're missing out on all that empty space. You're like, I'm getting shreds of shreds.
Yeah, I pay by the pound, too. So.
Now, I don't understand this completely, but maybe you can help me because you recently purchased some cheese. Today is National Cheese Sacrifice Purchase Day.
Oh.
What's the sacrifice part?
I don't know.
Cheese Sacrifice Purchase Day.
Maybe you don't purchase it?
You sacrifice the purchase?
Hmm.
That would just be don't purchase cheese. I don't know. That's just weird.
Maybe you purchase cheese and sacrifice it to somebody.
To the gods of pizza. So anyway, get out there and do your cheese sacrifice purchase today. Whatever, if you maybe Google that and find out what it is.
Check out that Grocery Depot. I don't know if you ever go there. It's like an Amish place, but they have meats and cheeses. It's like $2 a pound for a Swiss shredded.
Swiss shredded.
And then they had some oven baked, oven roasted, pan roasted turkey in there. They sliced meats for sandwiches.
Nice.
Some good shiz.
So, yeah, go down there to the Amish market and get some cheese sacrifice purchase going on for National Cheese Sacrifice Purchase Day. Also, today, like I was telling Gats before the show, I almost got an opportunity to go see Rush yesterday up in Portland at the Sleep Country Amphitheater. Today, Geddy Lee's birthday. So you think at midnight after the show in Portland last night, he fucking got it on? Party down?
Think so.
How old do you think he is?
He flew by night again.
Him and Tom Sawyer were partying it up.
Mm-hmm. I hate that song.
How old do you think Geddy is?
Shit. Now I think he's 57.
That's a close guess. He's
60. I was going to say. Oh, okay. I was going to go on the other side of it.
60. Well, you know, they've been a band since like 70. So yeah. 70.
That's 43. 43. Wow. Yeah. You had been 17 when they started?
Yep. Yeah. A youngster.
Wow. Limelight.
Also,
you know, I like a lot of their radio hits, but just the Tom Sawyer is burnt into my head. Yeah. What's the Red Barchetta one? That's an instrumental, right?
No. It's about my uncle had a country place that no one knows about.
Oh, okay. Sandy, they don't play that one very often.
No, that's a rarity.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of instrumental parts in it. It's pretty cool. I dig that album pretty good.
Yeah.
But, didn't go see Rush. It was a last-minute invitation that I couldn't accept, but thanks for the invitation there, Robert Johnson. Also, birthday today, Will Wheaton. The only reason I mention him is because he got stoned for the first time in Brownsville, Oregon, as rumor has it, with River Phoenix and those Stand By Me kids.
Really?
Yeah.
He got stoned or he got River Phoenix stoned for the first time?
I think they all got stoned. They claim that when they came for this movie, it was the first time that they ever got marijuana, that they got some locally there in the town.
Wow.
That could be an urban legend or a myth.
I think the myth is that you sold it to him.
No, I heard that it was from Farmer Tape Nose.
Really?
Yeah. He said that he went to get some for someone else because he was talking to Corey.
Somebody stole your story, dude.
Corey Feldman. He got Corey Feldman weed and he smoked those other guys out. But I don't think Verno wanted to do it. He's like, no, I ain't doing it. That's a goocher. They smoked weed one time and then one of them disappeared and never saw him again. Also, Will Wheaton from Star Trek.
That was before Corey Feldman had a license to drive.
Yeah. It just goes to show you, you know, you could be a lowly story-writing teen that goes on a quest to find a dead body. Next thing you know, you're all grown up and you're on a spaceship.
Astronaut. That's true.
Pulling off some Captain Kirk shit.
Yeah.
So
he's
Will
huge in the world of blogging these
How
days.
Old do you think Will is? He's Will with one L, too,
well,
by the
shit.
Way.
I don't think he's that much older than me, if at all, so I'm going to go like 38.
Man, you're good today. 39.
Wow.
He was 38 yesterday. So,
I remember trying to be, like, because I knew Star Trek, and then, the Next Generation, right? Was that the one he was on?
Yeah.
I think I tried to get into that, but I just didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I almost forgot after we talked about what was in Hans's CD player.
Whoop.
Big news on the Terry Guile front. We got a new topic coming back, new segment.
Right on.
What's on Terry's turntable?
Whoop!
So the neighbor had a big garage sale that I told you about last week, and Mike tried to sell the speakers, told you about that. And then they gave him a little PA that I told you about that they used to call ball games with. Little Radio Shack 35-watt. Well, I noticed on the back it had a plug for phono. And it had a plug for CD.
Uh-huh.
It had two microphones. And then it had a separate volume for the CD/phono with a switch on the back to switch it between CD or phono. And then it had two mics. Well, I just took... And the outputs are just like regular push the button in and stick the wire in, kind of like the back of a stereo.
Certainly, yeah.
So I just set it on top of my current receiver, unplugged my speakers from my current receiver and plugged it into that little Radio Shack one. I'm rocking LPs now.
Right on.
I picked out a stack of 30. I listened to like...
LP Terry.
I listened to like 7 full records last night.
Wow, dude.
Well, Saturday night. Including Spirit, a classic from the 70s, The 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardonicus, which features Mr. the late, great Randy California on guitar. They had a song called Mr. Skin that was pretty popular back in the day. Also, listen to...
They had that huge hit, right? Spirit in the Sky?
No, no. That was about them. That was about them when they were flying around on tour.
Oh.
Also, got to listen to one of my recently not listened to acquired Frank Zappa and the Mothers, Tis the Season to Be Jelly.
Tis the Season to Be Jelly.
Didn't care for it too much. The 1967 concert in England. They're goofing around. They're playing Hound Dog, Blue Suede Shoes.
About as good as the punt?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a little worse. And I listened to some Judas Priest, Stained Glass, Nirvana Rejects, some Blondie, Parallel Lines, Devo, Are We Not Men? And then I found in a pile that a friend gave me, Drunk Wade, a Helix 12-inch single. Not of Give Me an R, Give Me an O, Give Me a C, K, whatever that is, What You Got Rock, but it was the cover of Gimme, Gimme Good Lovin'. Gimme, Gimme Good Lovin' Every Night. I didn't make it through the whole song. But I did listen to the Aldo Nova single, Armageddon / Monkey on My Back, that was the follow-up to...
Armageddon!
It was the follow-up to Fantasy. Didn't really...
Fantasy!
The only cool thing about it was about heroin, but... Yeah, so... and then I listened to some Caius and some Poison Idea. Man, I had a good record party by myself Saturday night.
Awesome.
The wife was at work... The kids were leaving me alone. The godson was off with his mom, our baby's mama, we call her, because he's kind of our baby. But
certainly.
That's his mom. She got out of jail on Friday. So
cool.
Not that I don't love him to death, but it's nice to have a little break from that little idiot.
No.
He is three, by the way, so that's why I call him that. Don't get offended, all you fuckers.
Speaking of which, did you know...
Witch? I don't like witches.
You don't?
No, I'm just kidding. All right,
then,
I don't believe
I don't believe
in witches.
Taco Bell no more doing toy meals.
Why?
They don't want to target the kids, I guess, anymore. They don't want kids having to push their parents to buy them the next taco meal.
They don't want the kids eating that non-meat meat.
Well, they said they're still going to have kids' meals. They're just not going to offer toys and go that kind of route with it. But they'll still have, you know, kid portions.
Well, all that means is they're just being jerks. You can still have meals here, kids, but no toys.
Maybe so, yeah.
You don't want to come to Mexico. It's not fun for kids. There's just donkeys in
the road. No quiero Taco Bell.
There's burros in the road. Donkey shows going on. Cockfights in the streets. That's my envision. That's what
You know who was big on cockfighting was Mrs. Partridge. She wrote a memoir.
What?
She wrote a memoir
Shirley
recently
Jones?
Came out, and yeah, she was big into three ways. She was a kinky biatch.
Oh, I thought you meant she was a rooster.
Well, she liked to watch some cockfighting, I think.
Wow, sword fights for the Partridge family. I heard
dude,
she
you
had
know, rich bitches, dude. They're like.
I heard she had an affair.
They go out on the street and they look at bums and go, "I'll give you $100 to sword fight that bum over there." And they do it, and then they get their $100.
Hey, there's a new idea: bum sword fight.
Yep.
Hey, I'll give you guys $20.
Bum fencing.
Yep. Get by the fence and then sword fight with your swords.
Yep.
If you have a small you're gonna have to get it erect. You can't fight with a limp sword. So first, we'll give you some porn to look at. Look at this nice magazine. They're like, that ain't porn.
No Viagra's illegal.
That ain't porn. Porn's on a video. Those are just pictures. Yeah, I've heard people say, I can't even get excited at porn pictures anymore. I was like, you can't? What if she's really hot? Maybe she has like a butt plug up her ass. She's like, well, maybe, but I like
and she's
to see.
Peeing.
What if it has to be a GIF?
Yeah,
it's got to be
two pitchers moving back and forth.
In, out, in, out. Oh, the poop, pooping in, pooping out. All right, well, it's getting gross. We probably better get out of here.
GIFs are fun to look at.
It is.
They have all sorts of ones. Saturday Night Live characters. We'll talk about that next episode.
Yes.
I think we still got some stuff to rattle on about that.
Oh, yeah. That'll be coming on Hump Day. Oh,
sweet.
You son of a bitch. Why did I do that? I don't know. That just proves that we're human. I'm a human. I fuck up sometimes. Big deal. big fucking deal. We'd like to thank you guys for listening. Forget our who. Who's not you?
Q-Bot.
Oh, yeah. Did he call again or something? We haven't got any calls. Call our hotline, somebody. We're feeling lonely. 541-791-6824.
Yeah, Hubot, give us a call.
Give us a call.
Wherever you are.
Fucking piece of shit. Hey, happy Monday. Don't forget to go get you some pizza now. Go get pizza. Go get pizza now.
Pizza now, the meat market. Delicious.
Oh, we meated it up today. We're going to meet it up on Wednesday. We'll meet up with you on Hump Day Wednesday.
Beautiful.
Tune in for the Terry and Gats Comedy Show.
Rock on.
At TedCastPodcast.com. Hey, and if you want to be a guest, call our hotline. Otherwise, no advice. Hey, all you taggots. You ready for a new background track? I think I am about ready. Been rolling this black napkins for months now. So stay tuned for the next plugs to have a new background track next week. Here we go, every Friday for a few more weeks. Comedy at the Baghdad in Portland, Baghdad Theater, 37th and Hawthorne, with your host, Tristan Spillman. It's been going on for about 7 years. It's coming to a close on September 6th as the final Friday. About 20 of Portland's best comics will be there that night. Go and support. Still only $5. Every Wednesday, it's the weekly recurring humor night up in Portland at the Tonic Lounge, hosted by Whitney Streed. There's also an open mic afterwards. The show starts at 9, open mic's at 11. And then every second Friday in Eugene, every second Friday of the month, Pantsless Comedy Show with Mike McGowan. He always has a great headliner. And great comics all the way around. That's at Cornucopia in Eugene, 5th and Pearl. August 2nd, Joyce Occult in Witch Mountain at the Benton County Fairgrounds for the Benton County Fair. It's going to be an awesome show. August 5th, it's The Sword, Castle, and American Sharks at the Hawthorne Theater. August 8th, Fog Hat here in Albany at the River Rhythms Monteith Park. That's a free show. I think I might go to that. My wife has me talked into it, I think. I didn't get tickets for Doug Benson, which is also August 8th at the Grand Theater, Salem. That's close to sold out, I think, so contact Raven's Eye Productions for ticket info. August 8th through 11th, the four-day metal festival called the Northwestern Black Circle No. 5 is happening at Bronx in Portland. Thursday's headliners are Ex Mortis and Witch Haven. Friday night, you got Insanity and Poison Idea. Saturday, Grave Hill, Drawn and Quartered, and Ghoul. And then on the Sunday night, it's Spawn, Holocaust, Ceremony, Castings. Plus, each night has about 7 other bands I didn't mention, totally about 40, 45 bands. It's a $52 four-day pass, or you can get tickets at the door for $16 a day, $14 in advance. August 24th, it's Black Sabbath at the Gorge Amphitheater up in George, Washington. Should be a great show. I don't know who's opening for them yet, but check it out. And like I said, Comedy at the Baghdad, August 30th is my time to shine. My last performance at the Baghdad Theater with your host, like I said, Tristan Spillman. It's a $5 cover. Starts somewhere between 8 and 10. I'll give you more details as the date approaches. September 8th, the Uproar Festival at the Sleep Country Amphitheater with Alice in Chains, James Addiction, and possibly local acts like 30 Pound Test if you go to their website and vote for them. Also, In Her Memory is in the running for that. The Bam Margera Experience. I don't know what that is, but they're coming to the Hawthorne Theater September 3rd with Head P.E. and some other things.
Skater.
I know who he is, but I don't know if that's a band or what. The Bam Margera Experience. Also, the Moody Blues are coming to the Holt Center. That's a ways off, though. October 22nd. If you're into that, they always come back there, and I heard they put on a great show. Not a big fan of them, but if you are, you should go see them because they probably won't be playing too much longer. They're getting old. September 12th, Led Zeppelin. Great tribute to Led Zeppelin. Is playing somewhere. I believe the Wow Hall. Don't have very great information right here. Some good metal shows coming to the Hawthorne Theater in October, like Diamond Head and Raven on October 11th. Creator and Overkill on the 13th. Godflesh is also coming back. And Pearl Jam is going to be at the Rose Garden on November 29th. And my battery is dying on my media device. You guys have a great day. Go out and do some shows. Do them. Up the butt. This has been Plugs. TechCast. Podcast.com. The Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Go listen.